From the KUNV studios in Las Vegas, you're listening to Our Metropolis, a weekly interview program with people who are changing the face of Las Vegas. And now, here is your host.
This is your host, John Katzlamitas of Greenspun Media Group. Our guest this week is the president and CEO of Three Square Food Bank, which on August 30th is holding its annual restaurant week with about 100 restaurants involved. And here to tell us what Restaurant Week is and exactly what Three Square Food Bank is exactly is Julie Murray. Thanks for coming back, Julie.
My pleasure.
We'll start with Restaurant Week. We know 100, well, right now 85 or so restaurants are involved, and up to 100 will be involved. What happens?
It is such a great week. During the first part of September, the last day of August, we have about 100 restaurants from around the valley who are putting together prefix meals of a set price for delicious food that otherwise would be much more expensive. So we've been getting calls for the past several months of people saying, what are the dates of Restaurant Week? Because they know they can get great food and also contribute to our work to end hunger.
Right. And so as a consumer, you know, what am I looking for? What type of culinary offerings will I enjoy during Restaurant Week that are not available usually?
As you look at the 100 restaurants who are scheduled to be in Restaurant Week, you'll find the finest dining that there is in the valley. And when people check out the list, you'll see the best restaurants from the Strip, both in town and then also some that are outside of the valley. But what they are the finest dining, where those chefs and those restaurateurs have said, we want to support your work to end hunger, so let us join this activity. Mm-hmm. And not only do they donate a portion of their proceeds, but they give a lot of time and energy and volunteerism at that week.
And we're talking about the top guns throughout the city, aren't we?
Absolutely.
The Joe Rubichons, the Wolfgang Pucks, those types of people.
Absolutely. It's exciting to see the caliber. And what you'll find when you dine at those restaurants is it's not uncommon for the chef to come out when they know that you're participating in the Restaurant Week menu and to talk about Three Square. I remember the first time we had Restaurant Week and one of the chefs came out and wanted to talk about our work to end hunger. It was such a treat to have that presence from the chef and to have him or her care about what's going on with hunger in the valley.
It sounds like something Wolfgang Puck would do. I mean, did I nail it?
Is that no, oh. No, it was not him at that particular time, but it's exciting.
But they like to do that kind of thing anyway.
Yes.
You know, chefs love to talk about food, and they really love to talk about their own food.
And what I found about the chefs, particularly in Las Vegas, is it hurts them to know that there's any child or any senior or family who goes without food. So anything they can do that's within their control to help contribute to people having access to food and nutritious food is what I think motivates them.
Well, how is the link made between the Restaurant Week and helping people who are in need of eating?
What is a great thing for those people that do participate in Restaurant Week, there's a portion of the proceeds from that meal that at the end of Restaurant Week are tallied up, and then we get a check from each of the restaurants, and we've raised a little over $100,000 thus far. And when you look at, for every dollar we raise, we can provide three meals. You multiply that, we've been able to provide over 300,000 meals because of people dining out and having a portion of the proceeds benefit our work at the food bank.
Right. And is the customers, do they receive a discount themselves, or do they just know that when they go in, a percentage is given, or
yes,
both?
Both. It is price amount of either $30.10, $40.10, or $50.10 for the dinner menu, and lunch is $20.10. And as you look at those menu items, if you go any other time of the year, the prices would be significantly higher. So wow. I have many friends that will say, all right, we've got our 7 days lined up, and we know we're going to here, and here, because they know that at other times of the year, their bill would be a lot higher.
Right. And this is the time that locals have the chance to get to those places that they often only hear about or read about when the James Beard Awards come out.
Yes.
You know, and they seem so far off, but now this makes it accessible to them, right?
Absolutely.
Let's turn it over to the service side. Tell us about what Three Square does exactly for people who are not aware, because the name itself implies that there are three square meals provided by the bank, but beyond that, what do you do and how do you do it?
Sure. Every community in the country has the food bank. That is the source in the community that provides food out into the community for agencies, churches, and community organizations to use for their work to end hunger. So we are the hub in the valley where we have about 120,000 square feet. And we get donations of food and funds into our facility. And from that facility, we distribute out our food to about 300 nonprofit agencies and churches, 202 schools, and dozens of other feeding sites so that they can do their work. As an example, Shade Tree is one of our agency partners, and they do wonderful work. Marlene Richter, the executive director there, focuses on helping those women overcome domestic violence and the children that are there, and she relies on Three Square for all of the food that she gives to those folks that are at Shade Tree.
How do agencies get in contact with you in the first place if you have a need? I mean, how do they make that connection with Three Square?
We have great outreach in the community where we're out in the community with our team meeting with churches and nonprofit agencies. And those agencies can either call us or email us or go online. And what we exist for is to be the provision, to have the provision of food for them so that they can focus on whatever their mission is and ensure that they don't have to worry about food, that they can come to the food bank for their food needs.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been with the organization?
We founded it in December 17th, 2007.
It seems longer. Seems like it's been around a lot longer than
that. It was a legally formed entity in September of 06, but the doors opened to the food bank December of 07. So this is moving into our third full year of operation.
Mm-hmm. And the food bank is...
Craig and Pecos.
Craig and Pecos.
Yes.
Giant facility out there.
Giant facility, really efficiently run that when you walk in, you'll see two warehouses set up, that the donations of food and funds, when they come in, we get them stocked and we have them ready so that every day when our doors open at 8, we have our agency partners coming in, picking up the food that they need so that they can go back and tackle the hugely growing need that there is in the community.
Far more than it was in 2007, I would expect.
Unbelievable. When we begin as a legal group in 06, as one example, the number of children in the Clark County School District who received the government's free school lunch was 39%. Today, that number is a little over 50% of our children in the Clark County School District who receive a free school lunch. That's 150,000 kids who get their meal for free at school, but on the evenings and the weekends and the summertime often struggle.
They're unaccounted for on off that.
Right. And that our food bank keeps our radar on that. We want to know where those children are, where the seniors are, and where are the families, so we can strategically get food out to those agencies and those churches who are servicing that part of town and ensure that they have enough food to meet the need.
Are there any agencies or areas of need that you just simply can't reach because the need is too great right now?
Do you know, the need is growing, but what I've seen, John, and I'm a lifelong Las Vegan, I think we've talked about our roots, is that I've seen that the community's never rallied before like I've seen them rally. And when the recession hit and when our shelves were bare, the community even rallied more and would give a dollar or a can of food or do a food drive or give something. And what happened is little by little, the momentum built to where I feel like today on the topic of hunger, the community's really stepping up to meet the need.
What indicators do you, or have you seen any indicators from where you sit that this might have a period where the economy will finally turn around, where the need will be not as great? Is there any area that you see that gives you pause for optimism? Or are we still on this kind of bouncing on the bottom?
Do you know, I like to go out into the warehouse in the mornings and talk to our agency partners as they're picking up the food. And one example is one of our churches said that last year they distributed food to 45,000 people in all of 2009. And 2 weeks ago when he came up to pick up the food, he's already distributed food to 40,000 people and the year was only about halfway over.
Wow.
So sadly, the need is still growing, but I'm an eternal optimist. So I keep thinking that...
To be in your position, you have to be...
Maybe in 2011, we'll start to see it either leveling off or just decreasing a bit. Before we started the food bank, there were about 210,000 men, women, and children who lived in poverty. That number is closer up to 250,000. And my hope and dream is that when we pull out of this recession, we can see that number creeping back down more steadily.
Where do you guys, what are the basic sources of donations for the bank itself? Are they resorts? Are they individual donations? I mean, where does that align? Because that's a huge volume of food just being brought into the
sure.
bank.
What's great is it's a combination because it's foundations and it's businesses and individuals, and literally it's third grade classes doing penny drives, and it's such a grassroots effort that we rely a lot on those wonderful foundations who fund us, and the gaming industry has been incredibly supportive. But equally as important is that donor who might give $5 a month or $1 a month or $20 a quarter. We rely on grassroots efforts. As examples, the food bank in Phoenix and the food bank in Dallas, Texas, they have about 50,000 donors that are grassroots and give mm-hmm. a variety of amounts. And since food banking is relatively new to the Valley, we're at about 12,000 supporters, and we're looking at our sister cities thinking that that we're seeing a lot of growth and momentum.
Is Restaurant Week the main fundraiser for the organization throughout the year?
Well, Restaurant Week kicks off Hunger Action Month. What you'll mm-hmm. see in September throughout the country, there'll be a lot of celebrities and various folks supporting food banks and Feeding America. And what you'll see is for us here in Las Vegas, we'll have Restaurant Week that will kick off Hunger Action Month. And then we'll go throughout a full month of different sorts of activities, of car wash activities and food drives mm-hmm. and football games and different things. And then we'll end Hunger Action Month with DISH, which is our right. event that last year was at Springs Preserve, and this year we're taking it to the Palms, and it's the poolside wonderful event, followed by Smash Mouth will be mm-hmm. our performer.
Performing at the event. I've gotten pitched on that also. what led to the change for DISH moving to the Palms?
Well,
exactly.
we're
talking about that.
Last year, I don't know if you'll recall that it was April 3rd, and we'd done a study of every year what the weather was like on April 3rd. We had a hailstorm outdoors, and it was just crushing because we'd worked so hard for many, many months, and that night to see the skies open up and see it hailing. So we wanted to be able to go to a venue where we could bring it indoors. Mm-hmm. Should that be required.
Has the response from the community been, and this is more of a general question, been satisfactory to you? I mean, you talk about people coming together, but it just seems like the community has been asked repeatedly by so many organizations to give and give and give and give. And it's donation fatigue is a term for it that we've used, is that people just kind of get exhausted. I mean, do you still feel that there's enough energy to sustain?
Do you know what I see is I see that so many people are hurting and so many people are struggling. And sometimes when you give, even if you give an hour of time or you organize a food drive with your neighbors, I see that people often get back more than they give. I can tell you dozens and dozens and dozens of examples where someone will have come into the food bank, and it might be a mother that's bringing her teenage son or a group of school kids or a group from work, and they come in and they'll go out into the warehouse and they'll donate an hour of time or maybe two. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I like to go out and thank them. But what always happens, John, is that they'll come by and they'll say, I needed this. I needed to do
this.
The
volunteers say this.
The volunteers mm-hmm. or the donors say this. I needed mm-hmm. to feel how good it feels to know that this hour I spent or this $20 will help this many people. And I wish you could come out mm-hmm. and see and feel what that feels like.
Well, I feel your energy here, and this is something I was going to ask you about anyway, because you're obviously very passionate about what you do. You're genuinely passionate about what you do. You really love it. And I've done, and doing service work around the Valley, you do some of this, here and there. And a couple weeks ago, I was at the Mission.
Oh, good. Rescue Mission. Yes.
Yeah.
Great place.
Earthy place.
Yeah, yes, earthy place.
Great people out there. I loved it. I loved it out there.
It was great.
And I went out there with a group called AOK, Acts of Kindness, and they just do good, just in general around the town. And I'd never even heard of this. I'd never even heard of the organization 2 days before I went to the Mission. I didn't even know who they were. A friend of mine said, come down. And they had bagged up necessities and food stuffs and living items for people in need. bags of, you know, I'm talking shaving kits,
right,
lotions, all that stuff. It's sandwiches. They fed them lunch, all this stuff. And it seemed to me that we were standing in line, you know, servicing these people, and it seemed like an endless line. It was just on and on. And you meet these people face to face, you know, hundreds. And I think the number came out to, it was either 200 or 300 people came through the line. And I talked to the woman who was who's the director of AOK. And she said, "Well, that was because that's the lowest number of people we've had, I think, since we've been doing this." And
I'm really?
Like, "And I'm like, that seemed endless to me. You know, it just hit me that,
yeah.
I mean, and I can't describe. And people who want to do good should just go do good, right?
I agree.
They should just 100%. Do this. I mean, the feeling I got when I left that. I mean, I wanted to do it again the next day. I'm like, what's our next thing to do?" And I think that's what you're talking about,
John,
more than anything here.
Every time I've ever given back, whether it's through Three Square or any community endeavor, I've always gotten back more than I've given. And I hope so much that anybody that comes into Three Square and does exactly what you did with your AOK group, and you just did it. You didn't talk about it. You went out. You volunteered. And by you spending your time, you impacted lives. At the rescue mission, I don't know if you saw mm-hmm. the two facilities. They have fathers and children and mothers and children who have no place to go, and by you spending your time, you uplifted their lives and made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. But hopefully you saw how great it felt when you left.
Well, I think this, everybody who runs for public office in this area should do this once.
They agree.
Should meet these people face to face. I would love for everybody who's running for any elected office should go and spend a shift. It should be mandatory. The voters should demand it.
I love that.
Because I'm not kidding.
I agree.
You look at this issue a lot different when you see the people face to face, and when you have to tell somebody you're out of lotion, or because you've just run out of lotion, and you know they need it because the heat is searing their skin. You have to do that to understand this issue, and that there's a homeless issue. It's a political issue. Then there's homeless people who are people.
John,
right.
6,000 of the children who receive the food from our program are homeless. And so when you think about that they've done nothing. They're innocent, and they don't have access to so many things like you described, whether it's the lotions, the body mm-hmm. products, and food. And so for you or any of the other folks who are listening to go out and just give of their time, it doesn't have to be money. It can be time. Makes a huge difference in the life of someone that's struggling. And you and I, both of us know neighbors and friends in church and family members who, through nothing they've done, are unemployed and can't find work. And mm-hmm. it's just throughout the valley, it makes a huge difference.
Right. You're listening to Our Metropolis. Our guest this week is Three Square Chief Executive Officer and President Julie Murray. If somebody wants to volunteer, I want to establish how people reach Three Square, both who are in need and who want to volunteer. First, if you want to volunteer and do something or want to help out in any way, your organization, what's your first move?
Website is great because everything's on there with the times and how to do it and how to actually sign up and get situated with a time and a date to volunteer at www.threesquare.org, and it's all spelled out. Or our phone number has the word food in it. It is 644-FOOD, which is 644-3663. And whether people are interested in helping or if they need help, both the website and the phone number are great places to go.
And there's so many various ways and areas in which people, families, are needy and need meals. And if you're in that circumstance, whether whether you're without home or qualify in any way, what's your first move? Do you contact an agency and have the agency act on your behalf?
No.
Or do you go directly to the bank?
Do you know, if someone is listening to this and they are in need, they certainly can call or go to our website. And on our website, it lists the 300 nonprofit agencies and churches who are all throughout the valley. They get the food from us, and they give it away for free. Just as one quick example, there's a church right at Charleston and Boulder Highway that does great work. And if you can picture our trucks pulling in every Thursday with a truckload of food that we've rescued from grocery stores, and they pull in at 10 a.m. At 2 o'clock, the doors open, and then people come in line and they take away boxes and boxes of food.
Mm-hmm.
And we have sites all throughout the valley where it's either the fresh rescue product that we've gotten from the grocery stores mm-hmm. or the food that's the canned goods and the cereals from the food bank. There are 300 of those in the valley where if a person needs help, they can go to one of those and get the food for free.
Is there any example of food that you won't take? I mean, I imagine even if you were in a hungry environment, you won't. There's some foods that you don't. It wouldn't qualify as a meal. I mean, I'm thinking like, you know, corn nuts.
But you know, we unfortunately we can't take something. If someone just has a bunch of wheat thins as a crazy just example, mm-hmm. we can't take them if they're loose, if they're not in their original container. So if someone right. does a food drive and they get something that's loose, that's not packaged where we can see the ingredients.
Loose meaning opened?
Either mm-hmm. opened or not in the original packet.
Like, so if you've popped open Pop-Tarts.
Right, and you throw a big basket of Pop-Tarts
together. To use my example. You don't want to call 3Square and say, hey, take this off my hands. I've decided to go on a Pop-Tart-free diet. And
that's another great example.
But yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, yes. Right. Yes. But yeah, I'm just wondering what kind of food you get from the grocery stores. Is it particularly
great.
Is it healthy stuff?
It's food that's 48 hours yet to expire.
Okay.
And so if you can picture next time you go into any grocery stores, because we have 157 grocery store partners, that when it's 48 hours yet to expire, every day, Monday through Friday, we have a fleet of 13 trucks that are on the road going to the grocery stores, and it's put out in the cold area of the dock. And our drivers pick it up, they inspect it and weigh it and get it out the door mm-hmm. to the agency partners.
Because it's not enough just to just throw stuff
right.
at people and have them eat anything. I mean, you, the idea is for them to be able to eat in some sort of a healthy manner,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because this leads to my next question. What if you were in this situation and you have special dietary needs? What if you're a vegetarian?
Then we've got plenty of food. Yeah, plenty of food that would work, especially with the grocery store items that we pick up. That is primarily vegetables and cheese and I don't know how much of a vegetarian it would qualify. So
it does qualify as vegetarian.
Oh, good. But it is. We've got such a variety of food items that we I would feel confident that we would be okay.
Yeah, that's another thing I thought of when I was over at the mission. I mean, to you almost have to, it's such a luxury to have any kind of a special restriction, whether it's imposed or otherwise, on your diet. Sometimes you just take whatever, right?
You know, that's an interesting question, because we're getting ready to launch a senior citizens feeding program
right.
because we
mm-hmm.
focus so much on children, and the numbers of seniors also has been growing who need help. So as we look at the types of food for them, with seniors, we have to take in consideration the high level of diabetes and the salt intake and the different restrictions on seniors. So
right.
it's taken us longer to roll out a senior feeding program because we have to be concerned about the different dietary constrictions.
It's a growing need, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
that has become a point of emphasis.
Absolutely.
For you all. How did you originally get hooked in with 3Square in the first place?
I was at the Andre Agassi Charitable Foundation
right.
working with them on Andre's school, and Eric Hilton and Puna Mather and a group of community leaders had been looking at whether hunger was even an issue in the community
mm-hmm.
because none of us thought it was. And so when the study was completed in 2006 by the Hilton Foundation, and it showed how many people at that time were struggling with hunger
mm-hmm.
and that so many of them were children, Puna Mather and Eric Hilton then had invited me to launch what we didn't have a name for it then. It was called the Las Vegas Hunger Coalition. So to launch this initiative to address hunger.
And what kind of criteria did they use to identify what would actually be a need? I mean, did they go into individual case studies? Did they survey the community?
It was a two-year study that the Hilton Foundation had commissioned to look at the Clark County statistics. So although we service the entire southern part of the state, the study just focused on Clark County and the numbers of agencies providing food, how many people were in need, how many people lived in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at a whole number, a lot of indicators. The Hilton Foundation, when they do anything before they'll fund, they study and do an amazing
mm-hmm.
job.
They want to make sure that their money
yes.
and resources are going in the right direction.
Yes, and then once they saw that the data came through and showed how many people in this great city of ours were struggling, that's when they then proceeded with Eric Hilton, who is a Las Vegan,
mm-hmm.
and then Puna Mather became our board chair, and they invited me to become the CEO and to get this up and running and started.
Mm-hmm. How many paid staffers does 3Square
We have
sustain?
Around 70 paid staffers and about 5,500 volunteers.
Wow. And have those numbers gone up as the need has increased?
Yes, which I love seeing the numbers of volunteers go up. Last year, we were able to save about 17 staff members because of the high number of volunteer hours. So instead of us paying a staff member to get the food set up for our backpack program or to sort the food in the warehouse or do a variety of things, it was continual passionate groups of volunteers coming in.
And I expect this is true too, that the quality of the volunteer is pretty high right now because there's so many highly capable people who are looking for things to do between jobs.
You are exactly right. We've met some fascinating people that a lot who've never been unemployed before and who have found that it's been great to stay connected and stay engaged in something as they're in between jobs and come out.
Right. And these are people who, I mean, do you have to recruit?
Yeah.
Really? Do you have to recruit a lot to get volunteers, or do you just wait for the tide to come in right now?
Do you know what we try very hard to do is to make the experience for any one volunteer that comes in such a positive thing that that volunteer will go out and tell their friends. Mm-hmm. So we work hard to have the word of mouth be such that people are so excited about their experience that they tell others.
Right. I'm going to ask you real quick as we approach the end here, one more question about a restaurant week and the restaurants that are partnering with you. They're still coming in, right?
Yes, still coming in.
When's the deadline for that? I mean, can they continue? Can they jump in during the week?
No, it's coming up pretty soon. With Restaurant Week starting August 30th, I think the deadline is really soon. Mm-hmm. Where Brittany was sharing with me that we're at 94, so we've got 6 to go. Oh. So we, as soon as we hit 100, I believe that we'll just stop and make sure that we just really are efficient with all of those restaurants.
Brittany is Brittany Markarian, who's a part of the PR team, who's putting together Three Square as our studio audience today. And this is something that's going to continue for the foreseeable future, right?
Absolutely. We are looking at already 2011, and we love the event because it enables us not only to have locals, but tourists will then come in and participate. And it's a great way for everybody to do just one thing and support the work.
What's the best way to get to people to notify them about this? I mean, you know, a lot of people just aren't naturally hopping on your website. What's the biggest way to reach the community and let them know about this?
That's why we're so grateful for you spending time with us today.
Oh, this is it?
This is it. This is it. It is through word of
mouth. You guys are in trouble.
You know, again, you're so funny. You know, just word of mouth, exactly like this. And the chefs certainly are telling their customers, and we're using a lot of word of mouth to, and of course, a concerted effort of outreach, of radio and emails and a whole variety of ways.
So we have, we mentioned earlier, Rubichon is part of this.
Yes.
Wolfgang Puck.
Yes.
Who are some of the other hotshots? You know, Emerald?
It is the great restaurants, yes, from MGM Resorts and Wynn and Harrah's and the major gaming companies all are sending out their
remarkable
best ones.
To get all of them to do one thing in the same week.
Yes.
You know, it really is a lot of work. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate everything that you do, Julie, and I appreciate your time coming down here and talking to us about it. We're out of time. Dinner bell. For all of us at our Metropolis, this is John Katzlamidis speaking for Julie Murray of Three Square Food Bank. August 30th is when Restaurant Week starts. Participate, eat early and often. For all of us here, this is John Katzlamidis again, reminding you to stay tuned for Observations.
Thank you for joining us for Our Metropolis. Join us again next Tuesday at 6 p.m. for Our Metropolis.